On this episode of Cubs Out Loud, Gary took some time to have a discussion with friends in Orlando, Florida at the beginning of June. This resulted in the longest show ever recorded for Cubs Out Loud. So grab a cocktail and your favorite snack and listen in as Gary talks with new COL guests Ron, Drew, William, and host favorite Jeff Rockub on their thoughts about another series of freeform ideas. From sharing a house and personal space for 5 days straight to ruining hashtags forever. This is part one of the Tidal Wave and Gay Days Cubs Out Loud on the Road Show. COL 265 starts now.
Guys, this is Gary, and real quick message, an apology actually, before you listen to our first of two-part episodes from our On the Road show. I was unaware when I did the recording that it appears we had some cell phone interference, so there may be a little bit of buzzing in the recording, and there's not really a way to take it out. So I just wanted to apologize about that ahead of time, but I hope you enjoy listening.
Batten down the hatches.
So I want to welcome everybody to the newest episode of Cubs Out Loud. This is 265, and of course you probably know me as Gary Gerber 73. I happen to be in lovely Orlando, Florida, and this is wrapping up several days of much fun. I'm surprised I even have a voice, because I started to lose it during the weekend, and then, believe it or not, I got quiet for a little bit, and then I somehow sort of got it back. That being said, I'm very happy to announce that we have a couple of new folks that will be joining us. For those of you that have heard me talk about some of these are some of my best friends, and we've spent five crazy days together, but it's been a lot of fun. First and foremost, some of you may have heard this person in the background before, an episode roughly 1 year ago when I was down here before. That happens to be my friend Drew, whose house we're actually staying at.
Hello, everybody. I can only hope that Gary lost his voice.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah,
shade is being thrown immediately.
Apparently, this is we're going on a list now.
crap, I made the list.
Also, we have with us some of you. This is a new guest to the show. However, if you know me, then you probably also know this person as well. We have Mr. William with us, who has done his own podcast in the past.
Yeah, hello, everybody.
And we also have a brand new podcast version that I don't think has done anything before, Mr. Ron.
Hello.
And
chauffeur for the week.
Oh, yes, Jeeves. And then last but not least, one of our favorite recurring co-host, special guest, Mr. Jeff Rockup.
Good evening.
Oh, suddenly.
Slightly intoxicated.
It's like somehow you turn on the microphone and he's classy.
I'm going to warn everybody right now, these days have been nothing but the trashiest, shadiest times.
Catty bitches at their best.
Time.
Unfiltered truth. And gas, apparently. You put five men into one enclosure, and we will...
And add sauerkraut.
And, oh, no.
We added the sauerkraut tonight, late, officially, yes. But we'll get to that later. So, just so everyone's aware of what this was all about, at this time of year, a magical thing happens. In Orlando, Florida, they do what they call Gay Days, which happens to be many days of different festival and events that are all relating around the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered community. So, there are circuit parties, there's hotel parties, there's pool parties, dance clubs, special events, entertainers from around the country and actually the world come into Orlando and perform. Part of Gay Days is to go to a bear run here called Tidal Wave, which this happens to be their eighth year. And Tidal Wave's big thing is that they do a ton of pool parties at a host hotel, and then they go to Wet n Wild, which is an outdoor water park here in Florida, and they do a private event from 6 p.m. until 12 midnight. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We decided to do a little bit of this and that, which is we did some of Tidal Wave, but then we also did some of Gay Days, and we also kind of did our own thing. So I just wanted to kind of recap a little bit of the schedule where we came from. Some of us arrived on Tuesday, most of us on Wednesday, and we decided to save money by not staying at the host hotel and being good friends. We all just stayed in one house. And how the hell you've survived that, Drew, I'm not really sure up to this point, but we appreciate you being a really good host about that.
Yay!
Yay, Drew! Woo.
Days always open. Days are open. Wow, have another drink! Door is always open. Besides, I go through your walls when you're sleeping.
Oh. Except your back door. That's not open.
Oh. Really? Really?
At least that's what we've been told.
Or at least it's been a long time, because I think more officially what we were told.
Yeah. Oh, are we going to tell that story?
Shit. I thought it was a new ride at Epcot. So.
That's right, you still have another night yet. Ow.
So, the first big thing really that we did was Thursday, right? We went and we did breakfast on our own. Went out to eat at a place, and then we went to a winery.
Lake Ridge Winery.
Yeah, Lake Ridge Winery, which actually happens to be Florida's largest winery.
Yep.
I think they said. I love the fact that those of you that know that I've done a bunch of wineries in the past, Drew and William and I actually have been on a bunch of them. Jeff's joined us on some of them. And when you go to the winery, there's typically a tour. Lake Ridge's is very professional. I call it the George Lucas style. They have this beautiful video presentation, and you sit and you watch it, and it's, what, about 10, 15 minutes long, and then they do the walking tour. And I love the fact that the walking tour is elevated, so you get to watch the operations from high above, walk around, get to see the vineyard, all that kind of stuff, and then, of course, you get to do a fun tasting, and then we bought wine. And we continued on from there, and we had a good time. And then after that, that was when we did...
MGM Studios.
We went to Disney's...
Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, Disney's studios, their Hollywood Studios, which is kind of, I guess, Disney's answer to Universal, in a way. So that was our first park of the Disney parks that we went to. And, you know, Disney is kind of funny to me because this is my second time doing Disney in 3 years. Because it was 3 years ago, I went to Anaheim, and I actually got to do Disneyland. So this whole Disney thing to me, some of it was new, but some of it was really fun. I'm trying to remember what the big highlights were from what we did at MGM. I mean, we went on a whole bunch of the rides.
Aerospace, Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yep.
Aerospace. Yeah. And then a Star Wars.
Star Tours 3D.
Oh, my God, my picture. Oh, my God.
Spy.
William was the spy rebel mother. Spy that we had to.
Oh, that was right. I forgot about that.
You know,
we had to protect.
That was
always the black man.
I know, right? I think that.
Hashtag
oh God,
racial
like,
profiling.
You know, I know. Now people in the audience are like, "Oh, look, it's Billy Dee Williams." It's like, no. that was my very first impression of Disney. Really. Was the fact that it took me completely off guard that here we are, we're sitting and we're watching this 3D presentation of the Star Tours, you know, from the Star Wars universe and everything, and I'm getting ready to zip along on this ride, and the next thing I know, my face is up on in this like a picture, and of course, you know, that caught me completely off guard, and at first I thought maybe. Did everybody see that? Did anybody see that? And then y'all started giving me shit right away, and I thought, ah, here we go.
And the thing is, with that ride, it's not a two-seater ride. It's not a four-seater ride. You're in a room with 20-plus people.
Yeah, probably. Somewhere between 20 and 30.
Yeah, so you're in a room full of people, so that did. It kind of caught me off guard because you were sitting right next to me. So for anybody who's not done that, it wasn't. The ride is set up in a room. You're viewing out a window into the universe as C-3PO is driving you around, and the first thing that comes up on the screen is our mission is to find this guy, the rebel spy, which turned out to be William.
Sitting right next to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All I needed was for Jeff to point out, you know, here he is, right here, can we go now?
Ride's over.
I found him.
Sitting here the whole time.
And we had two Disney virgins, Jeff and William. This was their first time going to Disney. So for those of us who have been before, it was kind of nice seeing how they reacted at times to some of the... I kind of enjoyed the the enjoyment in their faces on the newness of seeing all of these things.
Yeah, it definitely was interesting to see adults have first-time experiences, and it makes me wonder about how much children retain from going to these type of things, because they're the main demographic of the purpose of the amusement parks and all the stuff that's created. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that it's a waste on children, but I do think that there's an age point like where it kind of tips the scale, and I question their retention and their enjoyment out of it, per se. You know, because the whole concept is it's a magical place and it's memories of a lifetime, no matter which park you go to.
I don't think it really matters what age you are when you go in to Disney. You know, I'm 40 years old. I walked in on Disney and I was made to feel like a kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then there are people who, you know, said, well, I came here as a kid. This is my first time coming as an adult. So you're actually getting to see you get to see the new things, but you also appreciate things that went completely over your head when you were there.
I don't think it's a retention issue. I think it's a comprehension and or when you get older, your mind changes and what you see or what you take away from it. So as a kid, you take one thing, but you go back as an adult, you take something else out of it.
It's also perspective. Mm-hmm. If you were to go, this was my first time, and if it would have been my first time and I'd have been down there with my niece and nephew, it would have been completely different. Mm-hmm. So going, I had the same reaction as William, to where I was I wasn't apprehensive about going, but I didn't know if I was going to be like, yeah, that's a little hokey, this is a little that, and this is kind of a waste of money, it's too expensive. And what I found was the same thing, is the longer I was there, the goofier and such that I got as far as being letting my adultness drift away and becoming part of the experience. Because now I'm like, you know, wearing the same color shirts and buying stuff that I wouldn't buy. You know, I'm like, I got bills to pay, and I'm like, I'm gonna go ahead and do this. I'm gonna go ahead and experience this. And the longer I was there, the more I had to tell myself, you got some responsibilities when you get home. You better think about that.
Well, so, I think that's interesting. That I think you're bringing up, which is what I enjoy so much about Disney experiences, is that the suspension of reality. That once you've come into the park, no longer is what's happening in your 24-hour life cycle existing really in your mind, because you're completely immersed in a whole new environment with people who want you to have the best experience possible.
Right.
Which is interesting, because we talked a bunch this weekend about the dynamic of business and how so many businesses could benefit from applying some of those concepts to their day-to-day operations. Granted, when you go to a hotel, to a restaurant, to a bar, to a industry, you know, corporate office or whatever, you don't expect while you're there to necessarily have this complete, you know, putting you on a pedestal, so to speak, kind of moment. But at the same time, you also don't necessarily feel valued. Or how much your value is there is kind of unknown.
Well, the more that I thought about it, though, I think Disney has the advantage where if I were to describe Disney in just one word, that word would be whimsy. And there is plenty of it. And if a TGI Fridays tried to take on the same type of thing, it couldn't be pulled off. Because when you go into a restaurant, usually you're just going in to grab a bite to eat. And while there are restaurants out there that want you to have a full experience, really what it all boils down to is the food good, because I really don't care about all the extras. Meanwhile, you go to Disney, you go in not just to go to an amusement park, but or go to a resort. You go to have an experience. So there's more room to move as far as bringing out the whimsy and bringing out the kid in adults, and because you don't get annoyed when you're treated as such by the cast members or something like that. If I went into a restaurant and the waiter or waitress was acting the same way that some of the cast members were, I'd become annoyed very quickly, because I'm there to eat. Does that make sense?
It does. I think you're talking about, like, it's relational to the time and the place and the experience that you're expecting to have. And so, yes, I agree with you. Like, when I go into, as your example, TGI Fridays, I'm not expecting them to make me the center of the universe, but at the same time, I want to be valued as a customer. So I think the thing that I love about Disney is that 95 to 98, 99% of the time, they are able to meet and exceed conceptually what it is that should be done for you to make it the best possible experience. I think far too often businesses get structured with, well, I'm sorry, sir, there's nothing more I can do. Those are the rules, or that's how we operate our business. You know what I mean? Like, they box themselves in, they limit things, and I think that leads to the negative experience, which leads to the bitching online, the negative Yelp reviews, like whatever it is, the bad word of mouth kind of stuff. And it's not that you can't make, it's obviously you can't make everybody happy. I mean, even in our experiences this weekend, I was a little dissatisfied with some things, and it's not anybody's fault per se, it's just my experience of what happened. And the interesting thing to me about it was I never expected it to happen, which impacted me harder. And that was an interesting lesson to learn, was I didn't expect that to happen because I'd already had good experiences in the past with said company, so I was just expecting it to be all the same. And I think that's true of anything that you do, though. You know, it's like you go to your favorite restaurant, you go six times in a row, five times it's perfect, 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 perfect for you. The sixth time you go, and then, like, the whole thing just kind of takes a poop, and you're like, well, what the hell happened here? You know what I mean? And it kind of stands out to you because it's the one thing that, like, is being measured, I guess, against all the rest.
Right.
In that case.
And that's kind of vital, too, because one-off shit, something you relate to is when I was in the service, one-off shit can erase, you know, 10, 20 attaboys. Yeah. Because you have great experiences, great experiences, great experiences for a business. And then all of a sudden, one person has one little thing that upsets them. And now all of a sudden, that's because how many people go online and say, this is the greatest thing ever, and the staff is great? Versus how many people will jump right on something and be like, this place sucks, and this blah, blah, blah. And they're just bitching for the sake of bitching because that's what they do. And,
No, I think so that makes sense.
The staff was, I mean, everywhere you went, and especially towards the kids, I've seen the way they treated kids on rides and made them feel very special, or, you know, that was they were engaging the kids in front of us, getting on rides.
Having worked there for 9 months as an intern and going through their training, I mean, I learned a lot myself, but that's the biggest thing they drill into you right from the very start is it doesn't matter who you are walking through, who walks through that gate, young or old, black, white, male, female, it doesn't matter. You could have that $75,000 lawyer coming through, and the minute he walks through the gate, he's a 12-year-old kid. You know, same thing with the grandmother. They expect to have a good experience. They expect it. Everyone expects it to be about them, each person who walks through that gate. And so as such, you got to keep that in your mind, and you got to make each person feel that you're there for them. And so that means talking to every person and being polite and engaging them in a fun way to make them feel that they're special and valued.
And so that's an interesting point, because what immediately made me jump to is, do you think somehow that ties into gay days? And here's why. Do you think that the gay community, the LGBT community, has enjoyed going to Disney because Disney doesn't draw lines? Do you know what I mean? Everybody's welcome to come into the park. Everyone is welcome to have a magical experience. And they work to try to make that happen for you. And thereby, that's acceptance. It's not political. Do you know what I mean? Do you guys understand kind of where I'm going with that?
Well, I think what stood out to me the most was the fact that when I was going around, I was mildly surprised to see rainbow-colored Disney pins. Or rainbow-colored antenna toppers. And it begins to really sink in that these are everyday things that they sell. And that when we were all walking around, you know, the cast members were always treating us like they knew why we were there. And they were always, so like the Country Bear Jamboree, mm-hmm. when we did that on
Saturday,
yeah, for on Saturday, Magic King. Not to jump ahead,
no.
But there were, because the quote unquote bear where all the bears get together and watch the Country Bear Jamboree. So for like two or three shows, that's all that it basically was nothing but red shirts standing in line. There were people going around misting. They were not just talking to us, but they were also laughing with us and becoming a kind of like a part of our excitement. In fact, I remember having one cast member says, everybody's just so excited, and they don't get that all the time. So it's not only did they make us feel welcome, but like we are something special to them. Not more or less than anybody else, but that this is a special experience that they get to have. Mm-hmm. Because here we are, we can be ourselves, but also the cast members really can shine because we will appreciate what they're doing because they're treating us like everybody else.
Right.
You know, that they were completely just... I mean, yes, there were a couple of moments, especially like I noticed during the Country Bear Jamboree, where the reaction to a couple of double entendres would make the cast members blush and everything, but they just rolled right with it. They rolled right with it and they laughed with us and, you know, they just kind of moved on. We don't get that everywhere. Not without being patronized. I'm speaking from somebody from the Midwest. So, you know.
Right, no, I agree with that, and that's why it kind of struck me. I'm like, well, maybe the reason why, part of the reason that Gay Days exist is now it's about, well, maybe it always was, and it still carries through, is that I get to go someplace and just be me, and that's okay. But it's not a bar, mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It's not a club, it's not, you know, my local watering hole or, you know, community center, whatever it is that you have where you live. You just get to go to a place that doesn't give two hoots about it, you know. Your dollar is as good as anybody else's, and we hope that you have the best time ever. And I agree with you that there isn't really any special treatment or different treatment. It's just the experience.
I have a couple of friends from Columbus. They're a gay couple, David and Tracy. Big shout out to them. Who were describing to me their Gay Days experience a couple of years ago, and they went to I'm sorry, I can't remember what exactly what the show that it was, but the MC of the show asked if there were any anniversaries, and it happened to be their anniversary, and they raised their hands and they got very emotional because suddenly not an entire audience of people, gay, straight, from all over the country, all over the world, suddenly applauded them for their anniversary. And they were completely overwhelmed by that. Because how often does that happen?
Right.
You know, it happens all the time with heterosexual couples. When, you know, oh, let's give a big round of applause to, you know, Kim and Jason or, you know, something like that. Yay! But if you were to do the same thing for a gay couple, there would be applause, but it would be a little... Okay, I'm not really sure I understand, but all right. As opposed to, they actually got thunderous applause for making it as long as they did and got that recognition. That is something that Disney has and has that we rarely get.
I think they also foster the environment because it was also nice to see all the people, unsolicited, the straight people that would come up to us and say, you know, we support you and would be really friendly, outgoing, and talk to us. I'm thinking of the lady at Downtown Disney who was from Maine. To give a background, we were going to all the shops at Downtown Disney, and there was a plane that was hired out that basically said to boycott going to Disney on Saturday, June 6th because of the... Or, excuse me, June 7th because it's Gay Days. And this lady just came up and talked to us and said, you know, I don't understand this. Why would anyone do this? And
she basically made some comment about that was ridiculous. Like, she didn't know, she didn't even notice the plane, but we basically, the five of us did, but we'd already known that it had been flying and that,
right.
In fact, it had been on the news already that they had some group, obviously not down with it, had hired
Gay Days on Saturday.
Yeah, had already hired the plane to run around with his banner hanging off the tail ass end. Like, and I still thought it was laughable because what the message said didn't make a hill of beans sense. It was confusing. I was like, you idiots. So anyway, she overheard us kind of talking about it, and then you guys ended up having that conversation while we went into the Lego store. And
yeah,
she
I
was
talked
like,
to her for a good 15 minutes.
And yeah, and she was like, you know, I guess she's from Maine, and she's doing photography at a, you know, marriage for, between neighbors of hers.
Right, her neighbors are lesbian couple that were getting married.
Yeah, and so it was kind of, it was a little bit refreshing, like, that that came across. And, but we also had the other flip side of it. I mean, I think some of us made comments that there were a couple of times we saw people's faces that were kind of raising an eyebrow about, like, not just so much our camaraderie, or the fact that we always looked visually like a group, but just, you know, there was kind of obviously, to them, something different. And I think that's more speaking to their experience or lack of experience, per se, you know, and not necessarily being around, you know, I don't think I ever saw anybody or felt anybody was kind of like, what the hell are they doing here? I never really got that feeling at all. I think it was more just a perspective of, oh, okay,
you know,
maybe, maybe wasn't expecting that.
There's probably absolutely no way on this earth to even measure the thing I'm about to say, but I kind of think, or I would like to think, that going into an environment like that, could you even go there and be super closed-minded to begin with? Because if you are that, you know, as closed-minded as I know, like, especially maybe William and I can run into living in close proximity in the Midwest to, you know, to some of the stuff we've probably dealt with or have been expecting, I know for me, to be expecting to deal with since I've now come out. So someone super closed-minded, I can't see a majority of those type of people going to someplace like Disney because it is so culturally diverse. I mean, you're throwing yourself into a large... I'm not saying nobody goes there that's, you know, backwoods, not non-open-minded, or, you know... But I would think if you're going to put yourself in an environment like that, you would have to suspect, I would think, that you're going to a place that's... You're going to be running into all kinds of ethnic groups, people from all over the country. I mean, we were talking about how many different languages we heard, you know, on the even just the tram ride going in from the parking lot. Mm-hmm. Is a cultural experience. Something as simple as a tram ride. And that you're not even in the park yet. You get out of your car, and there it is, standing in the parking lot before you get on the tram. All sorts of people, all sorts of backgrounds. And if you're that closed-minded, I can't see that many... That just kind of dawned on me. I just, you know, of course there's no way to measure that, but, you know, I would like to think... You know what I mean?
I do. I hear what you're saying, Jeff. I think it is possible to live a unaware life and go to Disney. I think it's possible to do that. I think Disney will change you.
That's what I mean.
I think you can't. Yeah. I think you can't go there and continue to have this
exactly,
and to continue to have this mindset that you and your local community are all that exists in the world, because the world is going to be in your face, surrounding you
right,
with languages, families, like whatever that dynamic is. So while you may live in, like, say, a rural agricultural community, and most of the people you know are white, and most of the people wear jeans and t-shirts and drive tractors, that doesn't mean that that's what's going to be when you get there.
Right.
So while your children may know all of the characters that have been created, that's what their world is, that doesn't mean that the rest of the world also doesn't make its presence known by the bodies that are traveling around with you, wherever you are.
You know, the small world ride.
Yeah, when we did that on Saturday when we went to Magic Kingdom, that was one of the last things that we did, was the It's a Small World at the end.
That alone is that embodiment. Every
right,
culture, everybody singing the same song in their native tongue. And I thought it was going to be this, you know, I didn't really, at that point, I was past the whole going on a kid, you know, I wouldn't dare go to a little fair across town and get on a little kid ride and ride it around. So standing outside there, I mean, it happened to me at the Winnie the Pooh ride too, thinking, this is the Winnie the Pooh ride, and I'm getting on the Winnie the Pooh ride.
Now,
and then I get on it, and I'm like, holy mackerel, you know? And it's, that was just as fun and just as enlightening as it is getting on the, you know, how many mile an hour Aerosmith coaster ride, where that's a thrill ride and that's definitely got some adultness to it, and you get on it and you're like, whoa, and you wait 40 minutes and then 3 seconds later you're getting off the ride, where you get on the Small World ride and you're just kind of chilling in the air conditioning, going through every country, you know what I mean, with kids,
right,
and you become part of that experience. So like I said, getting in the parking lot and getting on the tram everything about that entire experience is about diversity and cultural awareness and history and the future. And it's just it's an amazing experience being my first time going to something like this and having so much information as well as fun, you know.
Right. The thing I like that you brought up about is that there are rides that are definitively, but thematically, meant for very specific demographics. So, like, the Aerosmith roller coaster ride at Studios is mostly for teenagers and adults.
Right.
Like, four-year-olds do not relate to the concept of driving through what's called a dark ride roller coaster. It's all inside the building. It uses black light and crazy, like, you know, and there's music blasting and stuff. Like, they can't relate to that. However, the Winnie the Pooh ride, which we all went on, we completely turned into like six and 7 year olds all over again. We're touching the interactive screens with the honey and like making the things appear while we're waiting in line, and then we finally get up there and we get, you know, into the little car, and then we go inside, and it was a fun house. Honest to Pete, that's really all it was just like an eerie at a local park we have there called Waldemere. It's the Wacky Shack. It's just a fun house. Like, it's just a little car that runs through, and you see goofy scenes and that kind of stuff to make you laugh. But we got the biggest kick out of that, especially when they kind of amp it a little bit higher than you expect.
I know what Dringham's thinking, I think.
Because the cart starts doing goofy stuff, like shifting left and right and up and down, and we got into the Tigger Room, and the cart is literally bouncing by about 2 to 3 inches. Like, that, you know, not a lot. It's not lifting you out of your seat, but, you know, it's just, it was kind of crazy in a way, like, but that's, I think, one of the key things that makes Disney's magical experiences is all the unexpected things that they take out of it, you know, or put into it.
It's Jeff and I are thinking the same thing, but I'm going to say one thing, and then you go ahead with what we're both thinking, because mine's probably more serious.
I'm trying to think if it's intentional or is it just us being pervs. No.
Well, yeah, there was the aspect. The Winnie the Pooh ride did have aspects to it that people like us with dirty minds got real giggles out of.
Well, yes, that is true, because the Winnie the Pooh ride is full of lots of animatronics and still statuary, for lack of a better reference. And so the characters of the Winnie the Pooh stories are going through this one particular storyline of the book, only they're showing all these scenes, and notably we found Winnie the Pooh in various states of the story that we were taking out of context completely and finding quite comical.
But the other thing that I was going to say is it's also kind of the, I don't know, I guess the being a kid is slightly contagious. And the reason why I say that is because I'm not sure if you guys noticed or not, but when the Winnie the Pooh ride was over, here we were coming up, we were getting ready to disembark, and the cast member that was, you know, telling everybody, you know, don't be stupid, just, you know, get off the ride. She ended up going, yay, and we went, yay, and everybody that was waiting in line that could see us was grinning at us, because it was just like, okay, that was, because it was cute, it really was, because here we were, five grown men, you know, coming off of this, what's supposed to be a kid's ride, that we were just tickled, and everybody could tell that we were just tickled by it, whether or not it was because of the intentional stuff, or because of the sick, perverted stuff that we came up with. I mean, let's face it, Winnie the Pooh with his face covered with honey looking like Bukkake, hilarious.
Or the threesome.
I also think of the water ride. I'm having a break.
Oh, the Briar Patch, Splash Mountain.
The Splash Mountain where the bear is, yes, has his ass in the air several times and is on his back with his legs up in the air. Of course, we were.
Oh, God. I think I dated him. Because he was a big bear. It was a big bear, and for some reason, his legs were always in the air, and his ass was always.
He was actually
towards.
Even tied up at one
it was
point.
Tied up at
he was
one point,
tied
yes.
up at one point.
And
yes, Disney had no idea of all the subtext that the bear community, bear/leather community, would take away from an innocent, like, ride, so to speak, conceptually,
they.
that they put out there. But yeah, I mean, I agree that definitely was fun, and I can appreciate that we found that context on our own and didn't make a big production of it. But
well, that
like,
was,
that's really,
what I was
really
just
got really
say,
got
yeah.
the teeter giggles out of it, so to speak. You know, just going through the thing.
Yeah, as goofy as we were about it, we were also, I think, we were very respectful without making a super, because you know, if you throw certain people into a situation of anything like that and add alcohol or anything, that kind of stuff can get out of hand. You know what I mean? And get disrespectful. And being able to become a kid, you throw in the fact that now we have many years experience of being a kid, and seeing something like that, giggling and laughing and making little inside jokes and speaking in our coded language, so to say, about what we just saw without dropping vulgar language, which I accidentally did a couple times.
Me too. Sorry.
Around kids. But, you know, it's, I mean, that's a thing, though. I mean, as an adult, you do have a responsibility in an atmosphere like that to maintain even being in a playful environment and getting carried away, still maintaining the respect of what is going on around you for the sake of the matter that there are kids at an event like this.
But what was nice for this weekend was this was a little bit of a paradigm shift for me. You know, when you always go there, you try to think about that. You're always, you know, trying to, for me personally, it was like, you know, I restricted myself. It's like, I'm not going, this is the first time I've gone to Disney World, I guess. Multiple times, but I'd never gone on the It's a Small World ride, and always my logic was, all my mindset was always, oh, that's for little kids. But I actually went on that and I really enjoyed it, and it's the same with my behavior over the weekend. Obviously, I always had in the back of my mind, you know, don't say anything offensive, don't use, you know, any vulgar language or do anything that would be too scandalous. But I had no problem, and it was liberating to, you know, when you see your friends. I've got certain friends that when you see, we're going to hug and we're going to give each other a friendly little kiss, and I didn't feel uncomfortable doing that this time. So I thought that was one of the nice things, and plus seeing the some of the expressions on Jeff's and Wayne's face since it was their first visit, and I'm just trying to read, you know, their joy and happiness and thought processes on going for the first time. It's always enjoyable for me seeing somebody experience a ride for the first time or a show for the first time and get their feedback on that and see their expressions and see the joy and everything. So I particularly enjoyed that over the last few days.
And I agree with you, Ron, on that. Like, it's good to see other people's first time experiences with something because you know you've enjoyed it, so you want them to also have that. But then I was also pleased that I was able to kind of buoy myself from time to time with my own first-time experiences. Like, today being Sunday, we went to Epcot. And that whole, like, light and fireworks show at the end of the night was a first for me. I may have seen it when I was a kid, and I was, like, 8. Yeah. I definitely didn't look like that 30-some years ago. But my point is like, it was like watching it for the first time, and it was really cool. I mean, I was like, wow, check all that action. Like, you know, it was really, really kind of nifty, and so I enjoyed the fact that it's like, oh, I know I've never necessarily done this. Do you know what I mean? And so, like, you can also enjoy that, whereas other things, it's like, oh, I did that either at Disneyland Anaheim a couple years ago, or, you know what I mean, you have these kind of vivid memories of specific pieces of stuff. But to help explain a little bit, because I realize we've been jumping around a lot about the schedule, is Gay Day specifically, the big thing is that you go to Magic Kingdom on Saturday, we mentioned about red shirts briefly, so everybody understands there's a long legacy history that when the gay lesbian community would go to Disney, to Magic Kingdom on Saturday, that everybody would wear red shirts. And it was all about the visuality of being able to see the numbers of the people that were actually there that were dressed that way. And we actually discussed that a little bit this weekend. Off of that, Gay Days expanded out, and then every day for 4 days, roughly, there's a different place that of Disney that is considered the day that everyone goes. So it's not just Saturday. There's also the Animal Kingdom. There's also Epcot. There's also the studios. And so we decided personally, and like Jeff, you and I have discussed this before, that you kind of adapt and do your own thing. We decided there's only 2 days we actually followed the schedule, quote unquote, of Gay Days. Today we went to Epcot. Today was the Epcot day. Yesterday was Magic Kingdom Saturday. But Thursday and Friday, we did not do the official schedule per se. Thursday, we did our own thing.
Thursday we did Hollywood Studios.
Right, Thursday we did Studios, and that was actually Animal Kingdom Day.
Yes.
And then Friday we did Studio or Downtown Disney. And what day was that? That was supposed to be Friday.
Downtown Disney was Friday.
Right, but that Disney's schedule would have been.
But Disney's Downtown's not part of the gay days where register special day.
But what we would have done.
Would have been the MGM Studios,
but because we were doing
Tidal Wave,
which is the bear event,
that was the main reason
conflicted time schedule wise. You missed hours. I think you said
right.
So to avoid that, we shifted the MGM Studios to Thursday night, and then we didn't do Animal Kingdom at all. And then we did our own thing and did downtown shopping experience, bowling experience on Friday, and then did the Tidal Wave, which was the actual fair event, big pool party or wave event at Wet n Wild.
You know, so, it just now occurred to me that when you said that Downtown Disney was not part of the gay days, because I thought it was very strange that we went to, when we went to the bowling alley, Splitsville, when we went there and our waitress asked us why we were all there, and we said gay days. While she had heard of gay days, she's like, oh, is that this weekend? And and there was just a moment where I was just kind of like, really? You don't know this? But then, you know, now that you've said that, that, you know, since it's not really part of the rotation, I guess, you know, they wouldn't, know.
That's just a retail area. That's not.
It's an outlet.
It doesn't cost you, for those who don't know, it doesn't cost you anything to walk around Downtown Disney.
Restaurants and shopping.
Yeah, it's all shopping and House of Blues and
Cirque du Soleil has a big thing there. Splitsville is the place that we went to. It's a great modern take on a retro-styled bowling alley, but it has booze and food and
sushi bar.
I think that was
a cute manager.
Oh, Lord, I'll shoot you the picture first. We've got pictures of Gary wiping his mouth while talking to this man, and we
shade. Now you're throwing it's shade.
Hashtag truth.
I was not wiping my mouth because of the manager. I don't care what you got.
I didn't say
of.
You because of him.
No.
It just happened to be.
I just happened to be eating at that moment, and I wiped my mouth when you took the picture, and he was standing Anyways,
let me tell.
No, I gotta say something first because it's gonna because you started it, so I have to explain it for the rest of the podcast. In case you hear us saying the hashtag over and over again, we decided as a group online that we were gonna use a specific hashtag to tie and tag quote unquote everything together. Just like for all the podcasts, for the listeners, if they actually go to the website and they type in a tag. Then they'll, like, on the road, it will pull up all the episodes that were on the road, that kind of thing. So we ended up coming up with all these things, only we took it to a whole high, extreme level of annoyance. In fact, I think we pissed off a couple people because all of our posts turned into nothing
hashtag
but hashtags.
Don't care.
You know, talking about the manager, that was probably one of my favorite memories. First of all, I was there were moments in just about everything that we did this weekend that made me grin like an idiot. And one of my favorite things was the fact that there I was at a bowling alley playing this. I was bowling, and I was terrible. I'm always terrible at bowling. But at the same time, I'm also sitting there drinking Rum Runners and eating sushi. It was like, you know, all these different. It's like I wanted to have a bunch of adventures, and I didn't have the time, so I just crammed them all together in 1 2-hour. You know, it's kind of like, I want sushi, but I want to get drunk.
And I want to do a fun physical activity.
I want to fling a heavy ball across the room. That's what I really want to do. I'm really feeling it.
I want to cruise somebody that doesn't know they're being cruised.
Maybe there was the comment about, is there one man that is all of the five of our types? And he may have been it.
He's the poster boy.
We'd have to play The Bachelorette or some shit to find out who would actually get to Bone the Hot Manager. And
well,
I considered doing a misconnection on Craigslist to see if he would respond. And he would come back to our house and we would draw straws to see who would go first, second, third.
How would that... Can anybody come up with a misconnection
post? You, manager at Splitsville. Me, one of five guys that thought you were hot.
In the same...
You want to roll your bowling ball down my alley? But you know, and even that was all in just in friendly fun.
Yeah.
It wasn't friendly fun, and I did get a big delight out of you, William, personally thanking me because we'd had a problem with the alley. Right. Jessica was our server, she was a real baby doll, she was doing her best to keep up with us, and of course we were all over the place. It was we're trying to order drinks, not everybody ordered drinks, and then we're trying to order food and we get some of the food and then we don't and then you got your dish and you didn't realize it had an ingredient that you couldn't have, so then you and I swapped. And we just kept doing all this crazy stuff on top of playing bowling. And then we're bowling, and then Jeff goes and gets the middle pin and the racket stuck. So we don't know what to do. We lose time, and we have an allotment of time allotted to us. So we're
kind of 30 minutes.
Right. So we're losing like time, quote unquote, by not being able to bowl. So we end up getting a hold of the manager, which of course we'd all been like fucking drooling over since the moment we laid eyes on him.
I don't think you realize.
Right. Yeah. So he comes over, and everybody that works for Disney as an employee, they're called cast members, has their name tag, and it says their first name, and then it's their hometown,
where they're, yes,
hometown and state, and it happens to say Cooperstown, New York. And I was like, hot shit, I know very little about sports, but I know what the fuck that means. It's the
Major League Baseball Hall of Fame.
I was like, I can run with this. I got something. So I ended up saying to him, I was like, you're from Cooperstown? And he's like, oh yeah. So we all immediately start talking about everywhere where we are. Well,
oh, I'm a big
most
sports
of us talk
junkie.
About
I
where,
tried to use that.
Most
angle.
Of us talk about where we're from. A certain somebody was busy taking pictures the entire time of said individual.
Who is a dolphin, apparently.
They call him Flipper.
But yeah, I really thought that was quite comical and humbling when you turned to me after he finally left. They fixed the problem.
And I was like, thank you. Because I thought that was absolutely brilliant. Because you went, Cooperstown, New York. And I thought, ice has been broken. Now let's see if the ship sinks. But yeah, it was awesome.
We also traumatized a few people over the weekend. Our first breakfast on Thursday morning was at Egg and I, and I don't know if... We want to tell the story about the poor waitress that was serving us that morning.
Okay.
Her tip was... I doubled the tip I was going to give her just because she had to experience what she had to experience. Now I will let someone else tell the story.
It's a phenomena that I have never been able to explain to anybody, but the second that somebody says something absolutely off color or inappropriate, even and you know, we even whispered it to each other, we weren't even yelling at a loud voice, the waiter or waitress will be right behind you when you say it, and they will hear it, and you'll know. They'll try to play it off like they didn't hear you, but they will hear you every time.
She heard it.
She did.
We won't mention any names, but someone discussed the first time their cherry was...
It caught. Was me.
Why beat around the bush?
I was trying to be nice to you.
Well, apparently...
Why start now?
Apparently he didn't.
Was the quote something similar to, he's the one who took my cherry?
Yeah, he's the one who popped my cherry.
Okay. He's the one who popped my cherry.
And right as Drew said that, she set down, what was it, side dish?
Yeah, she reached over him.
And I was facing her, and I looked at her face, and her face said, oh. And then she just kind of glided away.
And we howled so loudly. It was like, it was about the fourth time we bust a huge gut, and we had been drawing attention from other tables.
And we pissed off, I think, the four straight guys.
At the booth,
yeah,
across
they were
the bay.
I couldn't see them, but someone said they were evil eyeing us.
Yeah, I kind of got the impression that they were...
Because they thought we were loud, probably.
Yeah, I don't think they appreciated us because we were loud, and I think the couple, the what presumed straight couple that was sitting at the booth right next to us, that had sat down, I don't think they were really pleased with us necessarily.
So we were overly loud. I think it's just we were laughing a lot.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. I will apologize if I'm raucous. I will apologize if things get out of hand. I will never apologize for laughing.
But you know what? It's Thursday morning. 95% of people were at work. The place wasn't that busy. It wasn't like we were...
Yeah.
causing a scene.
But yeah, that was one incident, as Ron brings up, that we, unfortunately, the staff or other people were not prepared for us.
As opposed to the waitress that joined in and declared herself the sixth.
One of us.
She changed the name.
Oh, PETA. Oh.
Well, you didn't tell us what. Go back to the hashtags that were jumping around.
Right.
We tipped on the hashtag of Fierce Furry Five Some.
Right, and so
that's what we called ourselves the entire weekend.
Right, so everyone is aware of the background. This plan has been in place not quite a full year. Drew and I had this discussion at Memorial Day, after Memorial Day last year, about trying to get everybody together for Gay Days, whoever wanted to attend. So we immediately, you know, we're thinking of William and Jeff, and Ron moved down here to Pittsburgh over a year ago.
I moved from Pittsburgh to Port St. Lucie, which is a little, about an hour and 15 minutes away.
Yeah. So it was one of those things like, well, let's try to get a group of people together and see what we can make of it. And, you know, schedules, availability, all that kind of stuff. So we created a Facebook thread message just between the five of us. And in Facebook, you can actually title your messages to track the different topics of the messages. And I can't remember how it came up, but eventually at some point, I ended up naming us the Fierce Furry Fivesome because there were five of us. And that took off into a whole other thing. So for those that have heard in the past podcasts about my quote-unquote OCD / anal retentive issues and the jokes played at my expense about being a person who coordinates and organizes and schedules, Drew decided, after we had Drenched Fur, to step up and say he was going to create the schedule itinerary for this particular week, which actually, honestly, I was perfectly fine with. But right. Being catty bitches that we are,
well, I figured since I lived here, I'd have the most access to resources about what was going on and being here. So I figured, and since it was my house that people come to stay at, like, well, I know the restaurants where we go to eat. I know the parks, you know, so it'd be easy to do that since I'm here versus you being far away.
Right. So Drew creates a schedule, and then I decided to be a snarky ass. So I said in the thread, well, if you're going to take care of the schedule, then I'm taking care of costuming. Which then turned into this holy big production. I will save everyone all the details except for this. I crafted together that everybody had ended up with shirts to wear every single day while we went out and about in public, including that we were all wearing matching colors, and the colors changed day to day. The design logo on the front is a big, huge bear paw, and it has three Fs in the middle of the paw pad. And so when we went out in public, people kept asking us time and time and time again. And to be honest, I never got tired of it. I thought it was quite comical because people were confused because on the back of these sleeveless style type jersey shirts, they actually have nicknames that I made up for all of us throughout each day. So it all looked like we were part of some unknown sports team that we just kept traveling
together. You got asked about a volleyball I got asked about volleyball and softball. Are you guys a softball team?
Or were we the Seven Dwarfs when there was just five of us?
So when we went to breakfast on Saturday, we went to Hash House of Go-Go. Shout out to them. Amazing place. Ridiculously large portions.
Yes.
If
you go there, or if there's two of you, order one plate.
Yes, and split it. Or make sure you're going home immediately or back to a hotel with a refrigerator of some sort.
Or have a cooler.
Really good food. Even for bears with big appetites.
Yeah, believe it or not, the five of us got way too much food. And we didn't go big. We just got a plate each.
Right.
And if any of you are friends with some of us, you would have seen the pictures that we posted. It was insane. But Shaquita, goes by Quita, was our server, and she was amazingly funny and good-spirited, and that's where we're talking about. She decided to insert herself into our group. So instead of being the FFF, we were now suddenly the FFS, because
right.
We were the Fierce Furry Six-some, I think.
Six-some, she said. She was awesome.
She was awesome. So she was completely opposite of the poor girl. I think her name was Jessica at Egg and I.
Yeah.
Although we did make her laugh really hard because after she accidentally heard what Drew revealed at the table while she was dropping off the side of bacon, she got about 3 feet away from us. I mean, because then she heard us bust a gut laughing because we were kind of like, ooh, and she heard that whole thing. And then she bust a gut because she knew that we were talking about it and that she, not that she got caught per se, but she enjoyed it. But I'm sure the Egg and I is an environment where that's definitely not a conversation that you would ever really expect to hear. House of Go-Go is not necessarily that type of environment, but their staff is much more fun.
And they have a bar.
True, right. They have a bar. where they serve liquor. And you can get a BLT Mary, which is what Drew had. Mm-hmm. So you get toast, bacon, lettuce, tomato, and a mayo packet, so you can make your own BLT sandwich and drink a Bloody Mary all at the same time. But so yeah, I agree. Because of the bar atmosphere, I think they have they have more liberties, but they're used to people probably being a little bit more open or whatever. So yeah, Ron, what was the other? I thought you said there were other experiences that we had where we kind of freaked out the staff or caught them unawares or.
No, that was the first one. I kind of let me look over here again, but no, that was the first. I just said we had a lot of people that I think that it was good interactions, but like I said, I think we also traumatized a couple. I was trying to think of another example. But
traumatized is such a harsh word. I would say we were.
Well, I'm being a little
surprised.
We were emotionally
overly dramatic. I'm exaggerating
a little. We were just right. Emotionally and
mentally overly dramatic. I think not.
No, but you know, I've experienced this in my you know. People don't mind a group that is having a really good time and just laughing and having a good time. Because if you're at a place that is not supposed to be quiet, you know, a restaurant is a place where you're supposed to be able to sit down and talk and laugh and what have you. Yeah. I don't think that we were ever really obnoxious. I think that that we did draw attention to ourselves a lot. But at the same time, you know... Yeah. I think
we were respectful of our surroundings. I mean, I think there's times when you get a little out of hand and you are a little loud, and then somebody's like, ooh, pull it back just a little bit. So I think we were, I would like to think anyway, we were respectful of our surroundings.
Right.
So,
Yeah, I think for the most part we handled ourselves really well. Although I will say this. Ron's poor car, if there had been a fly on the window of the inside of it,
it'd have been dead from the gas.
That's one thing. I'm having my vehicle fumigated when I get back to Port St. Lucie.
Hashtag stank. Hashtag hate.
Hashtag plug Jeff's ass. I'm telling you what.
My ass.
You know what? It wasn't even.
I smell like roast. I accidentally forgot to spray. You purposely didn't spray.
You know what? And here's the thing. We can't just say that it was when we were in Ron's vehicle. Because we even affected a straight family on a ride. I'm not naming any details, but that was when someone's crop dusting. I just know
this. Okay, we were on the
It's a small world,
and I tried to sneaky pick this hot daddy, which we happened to find out
me.
Because as I'm trying to make it look like I'm. They split you up. There, you can only get so many people in a car. This car had three rows, and I was going to be in the front row with someone. And then, was it me? It was me and William.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ron and Gary and Drew were behind us in line next. And we're all like, hot daddy, hot daddy. Well, hot daddy was with his wife and daughter.
Presumed wife. Yeah. Definitely son.
Oh, it was a son. Okay, that's how much I paid attention to the kid.
And he was
hashtag cared less.
Well, he was very knowledgeable. He knew his geography, and he I was quite impressed.
So
with the kid,
they
by the way.
as I'm trying to make it look like I'm trying to get a picture of the three guys in line that are with me, like, hey, I'm going to take your pictures, hoping Daddy walks in between them and I can get the picture of the hot daddy. The wife and the daddy, move out of the way. And I'm like, oh, no, that's okay, that's okay. So I get the picture, and I'm like, damn it. And he's not in it. And then he starts talking, and we find out he's from Ohio. And he got on that ride, and he could have fit right in with us like there was no tomorrow. All through the ride, I didn't get to overhear what the conversations were that he was having. But fast forward to the end of the ride, we get off the ride and we are almost out of the building, and he says to all of us, okay, who's crop dusting? And
which we had been notoriously doing for days. Every place
not
we went.
Not any one person, but all of us.
Right, all of us.
At different times.
Had practically been fumigating Disney. Stores, sidewalks,
actually,
parking lots.
Let me stay for the record. I actually didn't crop dust over this weekend.
Hashtag bullshit.
Oh. Hashtag Virgin Mary, get off the cross.
No, seriously.
So, whatever.
I have guess problems at times, but I didn't.
So, but we get off the small world ride, and so this daddy calls out, and he says, who crop dusted? And Jeff, being a smartass, immediately points to me next to him.
I point to Jeff.
Now, I didn't know you pointed to Jeff.
I pointed to Jeff, and he pointed to Gary.
He's seen me point to Gary.
Right, because he looked right at Jeff, and because Jeff pointed at me, and I grabbed Jeff's index finger. So, I said, I'm going to fucking break your finger. And Jeff's like, what? And then he really, where it's like, yes. I'm like, I didn't say it in front of the family until they were out of his shirt on. I was like, yes, it was me. Like, I will own when I did it. But I was not expecting to get called out by, like,
so, yeah. Those so, people here through. I was just trying to get this very sexy man's picture, which I did, and Gary shit all over him.
Excuse you.
Metaphorically speaking.
Yeah.
But this man was not, we think he can play for both teams because he did say that, I don't have the greatest singing voice, but I know all the words to this song, so you will hear me sing It's a Small World.
Yeah, you can sing whatever you want, baby.
Now, to you.
I will say this, my favorite moment that I don't think you all, we caught it, it tickled me to no end, was when we were still standing in line, and Jeff was still trying to figure out, because now he's busted. Not necessarily did the guy figure things out, but it's just like, you know, the gig was up.
I had to find an alternative.
The gig was up because he's like, oh no, I don't want a photobomb, and you know, it's not like you can just sit there.
Yeah.
It's not like you could just sit there and say, oh no, please photobomb. I mean, there was nothing
right.
more
he
to
said
done.
He didn't want a photobomb, and I said I was having trouble getting the picture or something.
Yes,
because of the Drew's bald head. To which he said,
hey. And we all look at him, and he's bald. And I'm looking at Jeff like, you dumb motherfucker. Because now we've insulted him, and we have to share a boat. It was like, oh my goodness.
But what excuse did we use? Drew's head was more shiny than the others.
We tried to look for an out at that point. I don't think it worked very well.
The best way to get out of a hole is to stop digging, and you were just shoveling away, and I'm like, just shut the fuck up.
You had that backhoe going.
Hashtag put a cork in it.
Both ends.
Which would have been for the end of the ride too. Hashtag put a cork in it for Gary.
And what was great was that his wife didn't really say much. If she caught on, she was more than happy to let us have our fun.
She was pretty tired of
him. She was probably
tired of him. Nice.
That's probably what it was.
Oh my goodness,
somebody else is paying attention to him.
She's already got alimony set up. So
Thursday we did MGM Studios. Then Friday was
breakfast here, and then downtown.
Yeah,
Disney.
We actually ate a meal at home. We had breakfast at home, and then we went to downtown Disney. That's when we did Splitsville. We had all the fun doing bowling, and we went in and out of all the shops. Oh, we went to the Ghirardelli chocolate. station and
yeah,
where they
just rub
out
it in my face, bitches. Just rub it in my face.
Where they gave out the chocolate
samples,
the free samples of chocolate, in the little store, and then you go into the actual ice cream parlor section, and you can get ice cream or sorbet.
Oh, sundaes and shakes.
Yeah, sundaes and shakes. So we treated ourselves that way.
Sea salt caramel.
And then we continued down the rest of the stores. We almost accidentally went in the women's store. That was kind of.
To which our future friends made a reference to, because we met two wonderful lesbians from
Mobile, Alabama.
Alabama.
And the funny thing about meeting those two lesbians was, remember, we had decided we had a person join our party. Partially for the part of the day, AJ, who is a committee member for Drenched Fur, he was here for Gay Days as well. He knows some of us, so he joined and walked with us for a while. He turned around, he departed, he wanted to go back to the host hotel where he was attending Tidal.
He was going
to
sleep, right?
Well, let's not. He said he was. He swears up and down that he said he was tired and hungry.
Because I think he did say
I made
that
fun
now.
Of him because when he departed, he was supposed to go straight home, and instead he went to Earl of Sandwich, which we saw posted on Facebook, and I was like, bitch, we ain't got food. That's not going to bed, like going to take a nap.
You better use that sandwich as a pillow.
Well,
you might be able to from there.
And then he turned around and said that they made his sandwich wrong anyway, so he was kind of pissed that they screwed it up. But anyways, we were on our way back heading back up to go bowling from that end of downtown Disney, and all of a sudden we had a lot of straggling part of the weekend. Like, we would spread ourselves out pretty thin, and I turned around and I'm like, where the hell's Drew? And here you're talking to these women, and I was like,
as we're leaving, heading back towards where we started, they saw us in all our matching shirts, and the one girl gave me a thumbs up and they both waved, and I waved back, and I'm like, it's freaking gay day. So I went over there and I said hello, because they were sitting by themselves in the shade wearing their red shirts. So it was an instant answer. I at least wanted to say, hey, happy gay days.
And they were awesome.
They were a lot of fun.
Can we post that picture? Got a picture of you. I took a picture of you guys with them. That's the thing. I didn't
really. Yeah, but we didn't get their info, did we? We didn't connect with them, find out about their names and stuff.
You know.
But so we talked with them briefly, and then they asked about the shirts, and we talked about all the shirt stuff. But yeah, it was kind of comical because Drew, since moving to Orlando, you've made local friends and you've talked about a bunch of people. So when we go walking over, I'm thinking, oh, these are some of Drew's local Orlando friends that happen to be at Downtown Disney. And then he's like, blah, 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 these girls are from Alabama. And I'm like, how the fuck do you know them? Like, it's like, I just said hi.
They were in red.
So then we continued on, and then we went and we did bowling, and then we came home after bowling, right?
Yes.
That was pretty much it.
Prepare for Tidal Wave.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so then that gets us to Tidal Wave, so we went to the water park. So we go to Wet n' Wild, which was a very interesting experience, to drive, go all the way there, get your ticket thing, which actually, that was really smooth. That went really well. Once we got parked, we walked in, went over to the side ticket booth, you give them your ID, they give you your wristband and your ticket receipt, and then you just go into the park. There were lockers in that. And I don't know about any of you, but I know I strictly did nothing but the wave pool. The entire
same
time.
Here.
Didn't go on a single slide at all. Although I'm not a big slide person.
I watched
personally.
The new racer slide, people coming off that. And I went over to the Lazy River briefly.
Yeah, I did a lot of socializing.
Socializing in the wave pool.
Yeah.
To be fair, my reason for not getting on a slide was because we
You scream like a girl, that's why.
The other reason why... was because on that second day
it was.
We'd done so much walking and we were so tired.
It was
really
refreshing.
I wanted to do was just
bob around
in the water and talk to people, because if I tried climbing up those stairs halfway up, I'd just curl up in a ball and hope someone could carry me back down, because it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, and so at the Tidal Wave Wet n' Wild event was very intriguing to me because of the event that I put on. I don't really enjoy the water park per se because I'm too busy organizing, running around and taking care of stuff. I don't attend the water park like a participant does.
Right.
So that was interesting to me to be on the flip side of it, yet I did it my own way, which is to just hang out. Like, I'm not a big rides person. I don't care about going down, up and down the slides and all that crap. In fact, one of the first comments I said when I got there is, like, do they have a hot tub? Please, like, let there be a hot tub, because
I
would be willing.
I don't know if we could have stood, though. It was as muggy as...
Well, yeah, even though it was muggy, but, I mean, well, especially after the sun went down, then the temperature dropped.
Yeah, did it rain? We saw lightning.
Yeah,
a little bit of lightning.
Yeah. But socializing in the wave pool was, like, the craziest thing ever, because we're all just, like, bobbing and floating around, and we're, like, paddling over here, and this, that, and then we're all making fun of each other, because each of us would eventually see somebody that we would wish we could take home, or at least get to know better, or trade numbers or something with. And then we're all like, look at her, she's busy chasing that all around the wave pool.
And occasionally the waves would knock us into other people, and it wasn't necessarily a bad thing.
Almost impossible to look smooth in front of some guy that you're trying to hit on when there are waves trying to knock you over and smacking you on your balls.
Or
it's really hard to be smooth.
Or hitting you in the face, one or two.
Yeah, getting right in your face, because you're trying to act like those waves just aren't there. That makes you even look more
stupid.
You're just
bitching because the waves didn't buy you a drink first.
The most action I've had all weekend.
At least me a cocktail, damn.
But I will say this, it was great to see the variety of men that were there, all shapes and sizes, age ranges, and for Jeff and I, we got to see people that we haven't seen in a long time, some people from across the country. Like, I got to see people from the West Coast, and Upper East Coast, like, just all sorts of different places. Well, in Texas,
from,
and
people I talk to online on Facebook, especially a couple from Seattle area. Actually, I think it's down around Olympia.
Yes,
a couple of guys from Virginia. I think somebody from Florida, some friends from Michigan, and then a bunch of people from like the Indianapolis Bear group that was there. That's also going to be a water thing, I guess, this year. And yeah, it was nice socializing. Someone I had a crush on 18 years ago that didn't remember me yet again. And
oh, the bitterness is strong in this one. Let me tell you right now.
Actually, it's not. The first time it was funny. I met him while I was still married. I went out of my way to drive 5 hours to meet this man.
Aww.
And very handsome daddy bear. And then I happened to be working in Atlanta, I don't know, 5 years-ish later, and ran into him again, and then proceeded to stop at his house, check out his pool and his vehicle, and we did a lot of socializing that evening. And when I knocked on his door, he opened the door, he was like, I knew exactly who he was. He didn't remember me from Adam, from meeting before. And then this time I just walked up and I was like, are you Dave? And he's like, yep, who are you? And I was like, let me tell you a little story. And it was nice getting caught up with him. He's very happily partnered. And that's the thing about it, is seeing so many people and being able to not work an event. Because doing what I do, working a ton of events, I could just hang out with the bears and just hang. And like Gary said, when you're working an event, you don't attend. You're there. But this year is actually the first year I participated at Drenched Fur in their pool, or I'm drawing a blank.
Water park.
Vodka. Yeah. Saturday night, and going, and actually that's the first year in all the years I've been up there. First year I've done the slides and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done that.
Right.
I usually get there late because I'm working and putting up sound equipment and so on. I get there an hour or so later, hang out, do the wave pool and maybe the hot tub and lazy river, and that's it. And then come down here, pay for the event, and then stand around in the wave pool and socialize with people I don't get to socialize with. So it was nice. It was still super nice.
Yeah, we were there for
three and a half hours. Practically closed it down. Oh, and ran into
left about 11.
Orlando.
Oh, yeah.
That was the craziest thing, because we were making a decision, getting ready to go. Do we go take showers and get the chlorine off of us? And yes, we should. And then it's all about timing for me, because I was like, no, I want to go to the locker, get stuff out of the locker, go take a shower, blah, blah, blah. I take a shower, get out of the shower. I'm standing in front, or William's in front of me, and this guy walks behind him, and I was like, he looks familiar. He did the same thing, and then find out, it's Orlando, who was shooting the documentary Bear World, and we stood and he showed me part of the movie. And had I done it in a different order, I would have not have run into him.
Right, and that was wild, because I got to talk to him because he was waiting outside with his brother, and his father, I think, were there with him.
Oh, really?
It was a pretty wild story that they were with him. And you had told me, you were like, you come walking out, and you were like, I just had the weirdest thing happen. I'm in the locker room, and I meet this guy, and he's showing me this movie. And I'm standing there going, did you fucking eat peyote? Like, where are you coming from with this shit? And then you're like, because it was so random. It was like Alice in Wonderland gobbledygook. I was like, what the hell happened to him? And then you were, and I was like, what are you talking about? And you're like, and then you were trying to like help me remember or jog my memory. And then I was like, wait, are you talking about from Roy's Hideaway, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
When I went with you guys down there for the Bearpalooza gig, I was there when he was recording for the documentary.
Yes, I forgot he did that shoot too.
Right, so when he came out of the locker room or whatever, he came walking over to talk to us some more, and you wanted to get a picture with him, and I started talking to him, and he remembered me. He didn't remember my name.
Right.
I mean, we didn't really talk a lot when he was at Roy's, but then he remembered meeting me, so we had this whole conversation about, you know, how the documentary's going, how it's been traveling the world. It's already got some recognition. He's got two things he's editing to, like, get the part done, and he's going to have 3 seconds. I mean, like, it's really amazing, and I'm glad that he's still working on it, because I felt horrible that it seemed to fall off the table, which we didn't know. He's been working on it consistently the entire time. It just is the PR advertising mechanism, the promotional piece of it, just really didn't do anything because it's technically not done.
Right. I guess William's in it too. I didn't know he said that there's something where you.
Apparently I'm performing comedy. I think no.
That's a whole different movie.
That's a whole different movie, and we got rid of all the copies.
She thinks.
I was doing some comedy, and I can't. Was it Donald? I think it was at Roy's.
It might.
Have been when that was. So apparently that got filmed and was put in there, which I'm totally great with. I mean, I don't want anybody to think that I was like, well, apparently, but because I probably said, oh yeah, sure, that's not a problem, and then I forgot about it completely. So
well, like you said, I didn't dismiss it, but I've often wondered. I wonder what's happened to that, because for a while there were little bitty trailers.
Mm-hmm.
The movie's called Bear World. It's a documentary about being bear, and there's a bunch of people in it, and it's from my perspective. He talked about where I was at that time 2 years ago in my life and my history and how I was married, so on and so forth. But everybody that's in it, it's got snippets of their story, and he said he's had straight audiences crying in different spots where they've shown it, and they're so touched about, you know, the struggle of the bear community. But anyway,
right, and the big thing I love about what Orlando's trying to do with Bear World is it's almost unimaginable in a way, but he literally wants to try to show the entire globe
spectrum
what the bear community is across the world.
Right.
Like, so when he says Bear World, he's taking it literally. Like, he has done North America, South America.
Because he's from Puerto Rico.
Right, and Latin America. And then he was talking about how he wants to do Europe, and I can't remember what he said the other parts were. But basically, he wants to travel the entire globe and meet with all the local bear clubs, go to bear events, meet with people who are, you know, bear groups or non, you know, bear group members, and just talk to people about what it's like in their different areas, which I find amazing because I'm like, I don't know jack shit about what happens in Istanbul. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would find that really interesting because all I know is the American culture.
Right.
And I'm sure it's quite different because from pictures I've seen from events and stuff, the bear community in the UK is not like the bear community in my, you know, home state or in the US. I mean, you know, the look is very different, just kind of the way they handle things. So it really was a crazy fate, serendipitous, whatever you want to call it, that he happened to be at Tidal Wave at the water park when we were there at the same time. So yeah, I thought that was pretty
hanging
cool.
Hanging out in the locker room the same time William and I are in there.
Hot.
That didn't sound curved at all.
Well, we went in because you were in there so long. We were wondering, it was like, my first impression was some of your adoring fan club showed up and were helping you take your, you know, your shower. So I said, I'm going to go in there and get him. And then I realized what you were doing.
Yeah, because you were in there for a long time. And I was like, what in the hell is going on in that locker room?
Well, the large part of that was I was waiting on the one shower that William was in, was occupying there for a while.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
And in the awkward silence, somewhere in the distance,
hashtag,
the dog
hashtag accusation thrown.
He knows I was not having it because there were
actually
personal.
I took it, like I said, actually I went in and I took a shower, and then when I came out, I watched a good first ten minutes of the movie.
Okay.
He called it up on his phone, and we watched it remotely, and I was just shocked.
Yeah.
I was literally shocked standing there watching this movie on his iPhone, edited.
So, then we turned around and we went to, from there...
Ice bar.
Oh. Hashtag complete waste of time, money, and breath.
So...
I really feel. I like their drama, Dolly. Jeez.
I wasn't going to commit suicide. It was kind of an experience.
Okay. So to be fair, I will make this PC statement. How we experience the event is not necessarily indicative of the Tidal Wave committee's work and dedication.
And this was not. I don't know if the ice bar. I can't explain. I don't think the ice bar experience had anything to do with Tidal Wave.
It was listed officially
as a bar night.
As a bar night outing for Tidal Wave.
Oh, okay.
And there was a bear DJ that was hired to play it at Ice Bar. However, come to find out, for people who were attending the run, nobody goes out really to do, like, going to the water park is a big thing. Going to the amusement parks is a big thing. Everything outside of that, nobody really does.
Okay.
So I've
got a picture to prove that.
Yeah, I know. I know. We presumed that because it was a bar outing, most bear runs that have a bar outing, they get busy. And our friend from the Midwest was going to be there. He had been messaging us, and he's like, "Oh, I'm going to be going." So we think we're going to meet him there, and we pay the $10 cover,
$10
to get in. And we realize there's like 10 people in the whole bar.
Yeah.
So nobody that we're expecting to see there is there, because it's pretty empty.
And I know, and what's funny is that because of where we come from, a $10 cover is crazy. While in Orlando or in, you know, some of the bigger cities,
Chicago,
that have a bigger
New York,
$10 is pretty standard.
Well, this is the thing. We got there late.
Yes.
An old girl standing out front.
That's true, we got there like midnight.
Gladly took our money.
Yeah.
And we sashayed in there, and it's empty.
Because we thought everybody was... Because the bar that we went to initially was called Fire? Fire? Something like that?
Yeah, the front bar, the main bar is Fire. Then you actually have the ice bar itself, which is through another door. Which is in
a freezer. You go in, and everything's ice.
It's a walk-in freezer.
The trick here is, though, she didn't bother to tell us, the ice bar... Because we said we were buying ice bar tickets. They sold us an ice... This is the problem I have. You fucking sold me an ice bar ticket, and there's fucking 15 minutes left to go in here. Bullshit. You should have told me that there's 15 minutes left, that the bar's closing in 15 minutes. Or are you so money-grubbing hungry that you're going to take my goddamn money and let me go in there and sit in this fucking cold-ass bar, and there ain't a goddamn thing going on? That's bullshit.
I feel like I did something wrong.
I know, I'm scared now.
Hashtag, I'll be happy to discuss it with you, whoever fucking organized that.
Ooh.
Have a drink.
Bitch wants his $10 back.
Yep. No, I don't want my fucking money back. That's just fucking inconsiderate. That'd be like me charging you to come hear me fucking sing and charging you $10 and going, there's your song, get the fuck out.
Right. So Jeff's point is, we paid full price for minimal opportunity and experience.
Right.
And so, like, to relate it back to the event that I do, and I'm not trying to promote Drenched Fur, because we're there for so many hours, the water park for me charges the same rate whether you're there for 30 minutes or you're there for all 4 hours.
Right.
So what Jeff's point is that it would have been nice to at least let us know about the time frame, even if you can't get a cheaper price, because there's only so much time
left
to experience.
Right, then you have
an
informed decision.
Because they closed.
Right.
They didn't close at 2.
You know,
they closed at like 1.
And they presumed, apparently, that we knew that they closed at 1, which we didn't. We thought they were open till 2.
Right.
Because we were there on Thursday night. We didn't know that they closed at 1 in the morning.
Which,
so that's,
And
how could you not know that we're not from the area? Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I agree from your perspective. Like, it was just poor service.
Right. It was, and granted, if it's posted somewhere, which I'm sure it was on the door somewhere, but I don't look at fucking signs half the time, which is my fault, and I can take ownership of that. But you've got somebody sitting at a table who doesn't even work for the bar, giving me a wristband, checking my ID, giving me the little card or whatever it is, telling me about a future event, and here's our postcard, and then you're going to take my $10.
Right.
Oh, and just so you guys know, before you go in here, the ice bar closes in like 10 or 20 minutes. You know,
right? Oh, they said nothing.
They said
about
nothing
that.
Whatsoever.
So we get the wristband, we get
money.
The ticket for the ice bar, we pay the $10. Then we go in. I had to go pee. I come walking back up, and I think you were the one, or Drew was the one, that turned to me and said, "By the way, cocktails are $8.
$8 to $10.
$8 to $10.
Well, that's the other issue.
And I stood there and I was like, because I will explain, from my hometown, I pay $2 to $4 for a drink. So being told that I was going to pay double to triple that price freaked me out for a brief moment. And yes, I know I'm in Orlando, and it's like higher cost of living, and it's supposedly a nice bar, or whatever you want to call it, a club. I still was just not ready for that. And
which,
and no offense against, and I hope you guys don't misunderstand, that was the reason I didn't drink. I was being a cheap, cheap.
Well, that's the other issue.
Not in the mood to be spending money.
And I bought the drink, which I'm like, okay, it's $8. I realize where I'm at. Fine, take my drink. Go walking up to the little girl that's going to put mittens on me and a parka to go into the ice bar, and she says, "You can't take your drink in here."
Right.
And they close in 15 minutes.
Right. That was the part I understood that really kind of...
That's what really pushed me over the edge.
Yeah, because the reality is we just bought a drink at the inside
main bar. I just spent $18 and cannot go in the ice bar.
Right.
Well, that's the other issue. We paid the $10 to get in, and the ice bar experience is nice if certain conditions would have been met, but... I went to one in Stockholm, Sweden, and you paid the money to get you in, but you also got a complimentary drink. So I think some of us were a little surprised when we paid $10 to get in, and then we also had to pay. And the drinks weren't cheap. They were actually more in there. The drinks were, what, $10, $11, $12?
They were $10 inside the
ice
bar.
Plus tax then.
Yes. So, and the glasses were...
Smaller.
Smaller.
Well, no. I'll talk about the glasses.
That was my burn point right there. Because
so,
we've got 50 Shades of Bitterness going on from all of us, all right? 10 apiece.
So we pay $10 to get to the door.
Uh-huh.
We get a wristband and a ticket. Then we walk up to the bar and we spend...
$8 for a drink.
Right, so you spend another $8 and you end up paying, what, a $2 tip on that $8 drink.
Yeah, because he didn't give me my change back.
Right.
He just put it in his tip jar.
So you spent $20 to get into a building to get a drink, and then we have to wait... And not finish our drinks, or finish our drinks quickly before we can go into the ice bar. Then she tells us that the ice bar is closing in 15 minutes, which means the ice bar closes earlier than the main bar does. So we have to quickly chug down the expensive drink that we just bought. Then we get into the bar, and then we all find out that the drinks that you pay for inside the ice bar are more expensive than the drinks outside the ice bar.
I got the same drink in the ice bar that I get in the fire bar.
Which was $2.50 more.
Yeah.
So the gist of it, if you go to an ice bar...
For less booze.
Less booze, because then, of course, the experience was fun, but that wasn't the thing here, because then I get my glass of ice, my ice glass, fill my drink, and I take... two sips of it, come to find out that halfway down the glass, it's thicker wall ice by another half inch all around, so it's a smaller drink.
Yeah, because instead of a conventional glass, which most of us would know what it looks like, Cocktail Rocks glass, has a thick bottom, and then it has the sides that come up, and it's uniform on the thickness of the outside edge.
It's a solid, smooth tube.
Right. So we get the... Drew shows me his drink, and I was floored. He shows me his ice glass. It's made of actual ice. That's part of the novelty. And he's holding it in his gloved hand, and I realize that halfway down the glass, suddenly the interior chamber gets to be half the size. Like, it was the
like
weirdest looking thing.
At the top, and then halfway down, it shrunk down to a 2-inch circle in the center. So... it held like a shot in the bottom and a splash of the Coke that floated on the top of the glass.
Yeah.
I got at least half of a drink for $2 more.
Yeah.
Well,
it was pretty crazy.
And
so
one thing that we didn't explain is that not only were the glasses made of ice, but the bar tops were made of ice. The whole room was made of ice.
Right.
There were ice sculptures, there were chairs that had large pieces of, I'm assuming, faux fur that you could sit on. There was like a fake fireplace made of ice. I mean, everything was made of ice. When I was texting my husband about it, because he'd never heard of such a thing, he's like, well, that's got to, you know, cost a pretty penny. And I said, no, what they did was they converted the walk-in freezer. It was a huge walk-in freezer. Probably the rest of the place used to be a restaurant or something like that. And they just took the walk-in freezer, set it at the lowest damn setting, at the highest damn speed.
Because Lord knows they're not storing any alcohol in there.
Well,
they don't have a clientele to be selling drinks.
1/5 would last a month.
Well, I bitterness aside, the concept,
the concept
of the ice bar, I thought was really cool.
Right,
if there had been a bunch of guys in there, and people were,
and they'd have been open until 2.
If they'd been open until 2, and let's just forget about the prices of the drinks for just a second, please. you know, laughing and everything. It would have been great. It
was
right. A great experience.
In Stockholm, it was a great experience because there were lots of people in there. And like I said, we got you pay to get in, you get a complimentary drink. So not all ice bar franchises are necessarily bad, but apparently this...
Well, we're not saying that. We're
right.
Just, we're talking
but
about
this was a bad experience. Yeah. Right, right, right.
Right. So, I mean, the reality is, and here's what I'm thinking of, because this was on Thursday night, and that was when we went to Downtown Disney, correct?
Yes. No, we went to Downtown on Friday.
Yeah, we
went to Downtown. Oh, we went to MGM Studios.
MGM Studios after MGM Studios.
Right, so here's the thing is, we're at MGM Studios, we have a Disney magical experience, and then we go to a bar, and nothing about this experience.
It was sans magic.
It was the complete opposite. It was like a 180, and I think that's what really wound us, like, spinning tops, because we were like... Nobody listened to anything we said. Like, every time Jeff complained about the price of what was being, and the structure, like, what we were being forced to deal with, they were completely, like, zombie. Like, they were dead. They
yeah,
had
I even
no
said,
reaction.
After I got in the ice bar, which I found out was closing in 12 minutes, I was like, I'd get a drink, and here's my $10 for my drink. Not knowing, I'm thinking I'm going to get $2 back, and I can give him a tip. He's like, I need 50 more cents. I said, so you mean to tell me after I got all this and the bar's closing in about 12 minutes, my drink is actually more expensive? And he just stood there. I think he might have even said...
He said, you come back, I'll give you another one.
Yeah, which he didn't.
But did you go back, though?
Yeah.
Did you?
I walked back up and set my drink there. He took my cup and set it off to the side and just looked at me. And I was like, yep, not ordering another one. I'm ready to go.
I think we're all a little tired too. That
well, but I mean, and
yeah, and after being in there, being that cold, I was I did little testy.
A little testy? What? Hold up! That's like saying I'm a little chatty.
Well, no, it was the ice that made him shrink up.
Oh, testy!
Hashtag bad pun.
Oh my god, that one gave me a cramp.
Wow. A little testy. So needless to say, we had a really bad experience at Ice Bar. And then...
And once again, not a reflection on the event as a whole.
Right.
Yes. That was probably a great idea that was brought up by the guys.
And not even a dig at Tidal Wave.
Yeah.
I'm not even digging at Tidal Wave.
It was an idea that they came up with. That they thought that it was going to be cool. And this is... I'm assuming
They did the year before, but I didn't go to it.
Didn't we hear that nobody went?
It's like...
So, anyway. Did we come straight home after that?
Yes.
No, chicken.
Lord have chicken.
Make you slap your mom.
Jeff says, I need something to put in my pie hole. I need something to shove in my mouth.
And the four of us agreed because he had done enough goddamn bitching about the ice bar. We were like, somebody shut him up.
And he's like, I want food. And we said, yes, good.
Is there somewhere along the route we can stop? I'm like, well... I know a place where I've stopped. They've got some pretty good fried chicken. You go there after Parliament House once in a while.
OMG, what the what? What happens next? Stay tuned next week for part 2 of On the Road, Tidal Wave, and Gay Days. Good night, everybody!